The Pickwick Papers, Charles Dickens. Contents, 1. The Pickwickians, 2. The First Day's Journey, and the First Evening's Adventures, with Their Consequences, 3. A New Acquaintance, The Stroller's Tale, A Disagreeable Interruption, and An Unpleasant Encounter, 4. A Field Day and Bivouac, More New Friends, An Invitation to the Country, 5. A Short One, showing, among other matters, how Mr. Pickwick undertook to drive, and Mr. Winkle to ride, and how they both did it, 6. An old-fashioned card party, the clergyman's versus the story of the convict's return, 7. How Mr. Winkle, instead of shooting at the pigeon and killing the crow, shot at the crow, and wounded the pigeon. How the Dingley Dell Cricket Club played All Muggleton, and how All Muggleton dined at the Dingley Dell expense, with other interesting and instructive matters, 8. Strongly illustrative of the position, that the course of true love, is not a railway, 9. A discovery and a chase, 10. Clearing up all doubts, if any existed, of the disinterestedness of Mr. A. Jingle's character, 11. Involving another journey, and an antiquarian discovery, recording Mr. Pickwick's determination, to be present at an election, and containing a manuscript of the old clergyman's, 12. Descriptive of a very important proceeding on the part of Mr. Pickwick, no less an epoch in his life than in this history, 13. Some account of a Tansville, of the state of parties there, and of the election of a member to serve in Parliament for that ancient, loyal, and patriotic borough, 14. Comprising a brief description of the company at the Peacock assembled, and a tale told by a bagman, 15, in which is given a faithful portraiture of two distinguished persons, and an accurate description of a public breakfast in their house and grounds, which public breakfast leads to the recognition of an old acquaintance, and the commencement of another chapter, 16, too full of adventure to be briefly described, 17. Showing that an attack of rheumatism, in some cases, acts as a quickener to inventive genius, 18. Briefly illustrative of two points, first, the power of hysterics, and, secondly, the force of circumstances, 19. A pleasant day with an unpleasant termination, 20. Showing how Dodson and Fogg were men of business, and their clerks men of pleasure, and how an affecting interview took place between Mr. Weller and his long-lost parent, showing also what choice spirits assembled at the Magpie and Stump, and what a capital chapter the next one will be, 21, in which the old man launches forth into his favorite theme, and relates a story about a queer client, 22. Mr. Pickwick journeys to Ipswich and meets with a romantic adventure with a middle-aged lady in yellow curl papers, 23, in which Mr. Samuel Weller begins to devote his energies to the return match between himself and Mr. Trotter, 24, wherein Mr. Peter Magnus grows jealous, and the middle-aged lady apprehensive, which brings the Pickwickians within the grasp of the law, 25. Showing, among a variety of pleasant matters, how majestic and impartial Mr. Nupkins was, and how Mr. Weller returned Mr. Job Trotter's shuttlecock as heavily as it came with another matter, which will be found in its plus, 26, which contains a brief account of the progress of the action of Bartle against Pickwick, 27. Samuel Weller makes a pilgrimage to Dorking, and beholds his mother-in-law, 28. A good-humored Christmas chapter, containing an account of a wedding, and some other sports beside, which although in their way even as good customs as marriage itself, are not quite so religiously kept up, in these degenerate times, 29. The story of the goblins who stole a sexton, 30. How the Pickwickians made, and cultivated the acquaintance of a couple of nice young men belonging to one of the liberal professions, how they disported themselves on the ice, and how their visit came to a conclusion, 31. which is all about the law, and sundry great authorities learned there, 32, describes, far more fully than the court newsman ever did, a bachelor's party, given by Mr. Bob Sawyer at his lodgings, in the borough, 33. Mr. Weller the Elder delivers some critical sentiments respecting literary composition, and, assisted by his son Samuel, pays a small installment of retaliation to the account of the Reverend Gentleman with the Red Nose, 34. Is wholly devoted to a full and faithful report of the memorable trial of Bartle against Pickwick, 35, in which Mr. Pickwick thinks he had better go to Bath, and goes accordingly, 36. The chief features of which will be found to be an authentic version of the legend of Prince Bladud, and a most extraordinary calamity that befell Mr. Winkle, 37. Honorably accounts for Mr. Weller's absence by describing a soiree to which he was invited and went, also relates how he was interested by Mr. Pickwick with a private mission of delicacy and importance, 38. How Mr. Winkle, when he stepped out of the frying pan, walked gently and comfortably into the fire, 39. Mr. Samuel Weller, being interested with a mission of love, proceeds to execute it, with what success will hereinafter appear, 40. Introduces Mr. Pickwick to a new and not uninteresting scene in the great drama of life, 41. What befell Mr. Pickwick when he got into the Fleet, what prisoners he saw there, and how he passed the night, 42. Illustrative, like the preceding one, of the old proverb that adversity brings a man acquainted with strange bedfellows, likewise containing Mr. Pickwick's extraordinary and startling announcement to Mr. Samuel Weller, 43, showing how Mr. Samuel Weller got into difficulties, 44. Treats of divers little matters which occurred in the Fleet, and of Mr. Winkle's mysterious behavior, and shows how the poor Chancery prisoner obtained his release at last, 45. Descriptive of an affecting interview between Mr. Samuel Weller and a family party, Mr. Pickwick makes a tour of the diminutive world he inhabits, and resolves to mix with it, in future, as little as possible, 46. Records a touching act of delicate feeling not unmixed with pleasantry, achieved and performed by Messrs. Dodson and Fogg, 47. Is chiefly devoted to matters of business, and the temporal advantage of Dodson and Fogg. Mr. Winkle reappears under extraordinary circumstances. Mr. Pickwick's benevolence proves stronger than his obstinacy, 48. Relates how Mr. Pickwick, with the assistance of Samuel Weller, essayed to soften the heart of Mr. Benjamin Allen, and to mollify the wrath of Mr. Robert Sawyer, 49. Containing the story of the bagman's uncle, 50. How Mr. Pickwick sped upon his mission, and how he was reinforced in the outset by a most unexpected auxiliary, 51. In which Mr. Pickwick encounters an old acquaintance to which fortunate circumstance the reader is mainly indebted for matter of thrilling interest herein set down, concerning two great public men of might and power, 52, involving a serious change in the Weller family, and the untimely downfall of Mr. Stiggins, 53. Comprising the final exit of Mr. Jingle and Job Trotter, with a great morning of business in Gray's Inn Square concluding with a double knock at Mr. Perker's door, 54. Containing some particulars relative to the double knock, and other matters, among which certain interesting disclosures relative to Mr. Snodgrass, and a young lady are by no means irrelevant to this history, 55. Mr. Solomon Pell, assisted by a select committee of coachmen, arranges the affairs of the elder Mr. Weller, 56. An important conference takes place between Mr. Pickwick and Samuel Weller, at which his parent assists. An old gentleman in a snuff-colored suit arrives unexpectedly, 57. In which the Pickwick Club is finally dissolved, and everything concluded to the satisfaction of everybody. The Posthumous Papers of the Pickwick Club, Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.